Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, we have our returning favorite, at least by downloads. And also, I gotta say, one of my favorites too, this is always fun to do every year, where Bill D'Alessandro and I sit down, review our predictions from last year, and make new ones, undeterred by our success or not, make new ones about the upcoming year. So always a fun episode, and get that for you today. What's going on? I am recording this in the wee hours in a hotel room in Singapore. I'm on, man, the back end of about 7 weeks of travel with my family, getting ready to head back to Montana here in 2 or 3 days. Singapore's been a cool city. I did an episode about 6 months ago about a sabbatical or gap year that we're taking with the family. Have been a little truant in doing an update for that. Hope to do one in kind of early January about how that has been going. Have a lot of thoughts about, yeah, just the whole gap year and updates. But yeah, at the moment in Singapore, pretty amazing city. Annie and I were walking along the water and just talking about this place. And I would say Singapore is the most polished city I have been to in the world. It's pretty spectacular in terms of how it's run, and interesting politically as well. Kind of a mix of democratic, but also, yeah, the mind benevolent dictator comes to mind when you come here. So, but I say that very lovingly though. It, really interesting place, meeting up ECF member later this week and have been enjoying it. Anyway, that's going with me. This is airing in December. So I hope your Black Friday, Cyber Monday, holiday craziness on the e-commerce side went well. Hopefully you're kind of coming down the home stretch here for orders, getting those out the door. Yeah, finding a few moments here and there to enjoy and relax as well. But let's get into it for today. So we're going to get into the predictions right after this, and hope you enjoy it. Today's episode is brought to you by the E-Commerce Fuel Private Community, the most vibrant and active discussion forum for owners of seven and eight-figure e-commerce businesses. So how is it any different from other communities online or DTC Twitter? Three big reasons. First, it's vetted. Everyone inside owns a seven or eight-figure business. Average member does about $5 million top line per year. About 15% are doing into the eight figures. You get advice from owners who have actually been there in the trenches, and that you know you can trust it because we vetted them and they're actually doing what they say they are. Secondly, no pitching. There's no affiliate links, no vendors hawking stuff at you. This is just real operators sharing what's working. And then finally, reciprocity is one of our biggest values when we moderate. We require that everyone shares something when they come in, so you learn from them. But also, we don't let people just come in and strip mine the community for information, so you get a really healthy dynamic group. So confident this will be a game changer for your business that we offer a 10x ROI guarantee. Join the community, stay for a year, and if you don't see 10x the value relative to your membership fees, we'll refund all of them, plus give you $1,000 just for the hassle. So if it sounds interesting, check us out. We'd love to have you apply, and you can learn more at ecommercefuel.com. Did you know that e-commerce stores are losing 10 to 15% of their revenue by not offering upsells? It's true, but you can get that money back instantly with the OneClick Upsell app. OneClick Upsell is already the number one upsell app for over 18,000 Shopify stores, including Tushy, Dr. Squash, Buffy, and Victoria Beckham. And it's made hardworking entrepreneurs like you $670 million in extra upsell revenue. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can add pre-purchase, post-purchase upsells, and cross-sells to every product on your store. In fact, the average user boosts their total sales by 10 to 15% as soon as they set it up. It's super easy to get started. Install the app, launch your first upsell funnel, and start making 10 to 50% more sales in less than 10 minutes. So if you like free money, go to oneclickupsell.com after the episode to start your free 30-day trial. Bill, it's that time of year again. Welcome back to the podcast, sir. It's been a while, man.
Yeah. Happy e-commerce predictions 2025 episode.
Happy our time to show the world how little we know about future world events, and you know, our track record at being prescient is once again cast into serious doubt, but it's always fun.
I love that we have this annual tradition. I think this must be our probably fifth or eighth. I mean, we've done this for a number of years now.
It is, and it's one of, if not the most popular episode of the year. I think people like just watching us have to come to terms with the predictions we make and just kind of, you know, squirm in our seats and feel awkward in front of a bunch of people. It's like
It's like when you watch someone be embarrassed, it's mostly bad, but it's a little bit entertaining at the same time. I think that's why people enjoy it so much. But yes, a long and storied track record. And it's always fun. Like, it's always fun. And it's always a good reminder of, you know, how a year can change things pretty dramatically. So, but we are going to
Confident every year. We feel so confident.
Yes. Yeah. After being reminded of our previous track record, which let's look into it. So last year we each made about 4 predictions. So we'll start with your first one. Your first one for 2024 was that offshoring continues and accelerates to the point that domestic entry-level e-commerce jobs essentially disappear. And so in the keeping with tradition, we'll go ahead and each rate our own prediction. So Bill, what do you say?
I think this was mostly true. As in all things, it usually takes a little longer than I think it will. But I know in 2024, we saw everybody and their brother launch an offshore staffing company. We saw Support Shepherd, aka Somewhere, get sold for a big number. This trend has definitely accelerated dramatically. I don't think it's quite gotten to the point of entry-level e-commerce jobs have essentially disappeared, but wait till my predictions for 2025.
I would say have essentially disappeared, but I would say a meaningful number of people. There's a significantly higher number of people in our community leveraging this than there were last year.
Yep. So I'll take it. I'll take a point there.
Awesome. So my first prediction for the year was it's going to be a bloodbath year for venture-backed DTC companies. And we're going to see some incredible firebrand sales for companies that you never would have suspected would go bankrupt or sell on the cheap. And Bill, I'm going to actually need your help on this one. You know the M&A markets and that kind of that world better than I do. And I spent some time trying to Google. First, I thought through it. And secondly, then I did some researching. Despite all of that, I was trying to think through big brands that went under or got sold on the DTC e-commerce side. And I struggled. So I think that on the, Maytab, a friend of both of ours, and I know that from talking to people in the distressed world, there were a lot of distressed sales. And so I do think I might give myself half point for this one, only because I think that was the dynamic, but it surprised me that there were not more big names that kind of made headlines.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do get a point here. I mean, 2024 was a tough year for exits, but not in the way that sort of I think you predicted. 2023 was completely dead. The market was totally dead because there's this huge kind of bid-ask spread between sellers and buyers. And so just nothing was clearing. Sellers still had, 2021 expectations. In early 2024, I felt that kind of start to loosen up a little bit. Sellers got realistic expectations and things started transacting, or people started giving up. Might be another way to more pessimistically frame that. Casper just got sold again for a low number. The whole Amazon aggregator space kind of continues to merge and consolidate and sell assets. And the market opened up in 2024, which I think was sort of the essence of your prediction, was like sellers are going to capitulate. And I do think that happened.
Yeah, I think it's a generous one. I'll take half a point on that. I don't think I get the full credit. Because for me, I was thinking more, we're going to have big companies you would know and you were going to be shocked to see on the fire sale and kind of on the chopping block, which I don't think happened as much as I thought it was going to. Sidebar, do you know that REI, granted they are a co-op, think about the scale of REI, the outdoor equipment company manufacturer. Do you know that they barely break even every year? They have like a margin of like 1 or 2%. I think it's like they make like $20 million, if that. Anyway, random little rabbit trail. But I was looking at their, some kind of annual report, and I just thought for their scale, financially, they make almost no money, which was kind of crazy. And again, they've got kind of the co-op thing, but totally
crazy.
Random.
We could do a whole episode unpacking the REI business model. I bet that would be, I would love to listen to that. Maybe someone's already done that, a business breakdown.
Well, let's listen to it and comment on it because I would love to do that too. That sounds fascinating. All right, Bill, your next one was retail in 2024 was going to get very, very hard for challenger brands and DTC brands. And you know retail exceptionally well. So what do you see this year?
I think this was wrong, actually. I've seen more. I mean, the bar is up. I mean, you have to have a big online following. It is very hard to leap into retail to kind of cross that chasm from a digital brand to an omnichannel brand. This is a chasm we've worked really hard at Natural Dog Company to jump and succeed in retail. And I think we've done well, but it was hard. But I sort of expected it to get even harder on shelf in 2024, and we did not feel that, which was encouraging for our business. I think it's harder to get in, but people aren't getting kicked out in the way I expected. So I missed this one.
I mean, for you, your prediction was like hard for challenger brands. So you kind of had a foothold there. You've been working at this for a couple of years, maybe even three. What's the word that you've heard on the street from new entrants? Because I know a decent number of people ask you about retail. Do you hear anecdotally from people that it's getting harder to break in?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, but it is always hard to break in. I mean, retail buyers, the thing that's very frustrating about retail buyers is they don't really want to do their job. They want everything they buy to fly off the shelf to take no risk. So when you show up and you're like, hey, we're an online brand. We do 50 million a year on the internet, but like maybe you've never heard of us. That feels very risky to them versus they could just add another SKU from Procter & Gamble or VF Corp or, you know, any one of these big retailers or big brands they already work with or house brands they already work with. So you have to really show them why their customer is already your customer. And like, look, here are the demographics of our brand. Here's the stuff that sells the best. Our customers are already in your store on the ground. I digress here. I've done whole podcast episodes on how to do retail, but it is just really hard. I thought it was going to get harder in 2024. I don't think that really happened.
My next prediction, nailed this one. I feel really good about this one. Nikki Haley is going to be elected as our next U.S. president in an election with more disinformation than any we've had in past history. I feel good. So let's move on to your next one, Bill. We're going to see another war.
I, for one, look forward to the inauguration of President Haley in 4 weeks.
I know. It's going to be, I'll sell you some tickets for it. I've got tickets for it that are super cheap that'll get them for you.
I will tell you, actually, I think you were wrong in, obviously, but in one very encouraging way. I did not feel as though the election this year were totally off the rails as far as disinformation, which is what you predicted.
Yes. And I'm actually glad to see that. I mean, granted, I think we could get, you know, we could definitely have an argument about different degrees of things. And I think there are people that live in different echo chambers. Like, for example, I was going through, Annie and I were going through each other's Twitter feeds, which is really interesting. And granted, I didn't realize, I feel like an idiot on Twitter, that there is a following tab and a for you tab. And if you're not on Twitter, Bill, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but the for you tab is just what the algorithm thinks you're going to like. And the following tab is just straight up from only people who you follow. And man, the worlds that I was getting information from, because I felt my world, that like the information I was getting served up change. And was talking to Andy about that. We went through that. And then when I switched over to just the for you tab or the following tab, it was much cleaner, much more what I expected to see, much more kind of the voices I wanted to hear from. Anyway, I think you're right. I don't think there wasn't a wild amount of disinformation, which was nice to see, especially coming from the political parties themselves. But I do think we're free and clear from that online.
I don't think it was better or like good, but it was not the worst in history. It wasn't like a disaster, which is what I read the prediction as. So as far as like the way this election went, like I think our country did pretty well.
Yeah, there were not videos doctored of, you know, Kamala Harris attacking Donald Trump with a knife going viral, inciting riots in the streets. Yes, absolutely, which was nice. Yeah, but I completely swung out on that one. So yeah, maybe next year, maybe in 4 years, Nikki, we'll see. Your next prediction, we're going to see another war or terrorist attack or some sort of major global negative event in 2024.
I'm happy to say I think I was wrong here. Am I forgetting anything? Yeah. I was wrong.
I was thinking through this too. And obviously there's small things here and there and things that happen, but in terms of major things, thankfully you and I both missed our, last two predictions here. Well, not thankfully that on the election, but for the disinformation side of things. So yeah, I think you're right. I can't think of anything either.
Yeah, I'm happy to have missed that one.
Yeah, well done. Well done, world. my next one was interest rates stay unchanged for 2024. And so I think I might give myself maybe a third of a point here. So if you look at, I made this prediction thinking that inflation was not going to moderate and might even continue to tick up modestly. And so interest rates would be left alone. I think they came down. They're at 4.75% right now. I think they were at 5.5% before we dropped, 75 bips or 0.75%. So they did not stay unchanged. They didn't come down too much, but didn't get this one fully.
That being said, so like, yes, the Fed cut rates a bit this year, but it depends on how you measure this. If you look at the yield on the 10-year treasury, at the beginning of 2024, it was 4%. It is currently 4.2%. So yes and no, the Fed cut rates, but are the practical borrowing costs of the federal government down? No. You know, are future expectations of inflation changed? No, not really.
Man, Bill, you always are so generous. I kind of give myself what I think is a fair grading, and then you come in and just you kind of like buoy. You make the counter case for me to make me look better, which I
like
appreciate.
To be right, Andrew. So I'm pretty good at making the case.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. This is, you guys are gonna get you something nice for Christmas here. I will say, I think prediction aside, I feel like Jerome Powell. It's easy to crapple over politicians and people in office. I feel like he has just done an unbelievably fantastic job of managing what could have been a real disaster. I mean, when he was getting a ton of pressure, he raised rates pretty rapidly when it was unpopular and a lot of people were screaming for his heads. He held them for a while. He's moderated them a little bit at the right times. And you look at, you know, the U.S. compared to a lot of the rest of the world. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I have been impressed with that man.
10 out of 10. I mean, it's so easy to forget what this guy has been Fed chair through, right? All of COVID. I mean, he was chair for COVID, for he cut rates to zero, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that had to deal with all of that, then the ensuing inflation. Everybody was talking about recession, depression in 2023, odds of soft landing, less than 10%. And Powell has engineered the soft landing. Not only, the soft landing might be overly pessimistic. The market is through the roof this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, exuberance and animal spirits is quite the right word, but we're getting there. It's been a crazy November. I mean, after post-election, I'm sure we'll probably get into some of that in the 2025 predictions. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Powell. Man, I get a little bobblehead of him on my desk and put him up there for inspiration. So if anyone knows where I can buy those, we're going to have to talk to our friends over at Factory and see if they can put one of those together. So,
I mean, I'll tell you, like, maybe we should go back and listen to our 2022 episode predicting 2023. I remember being pretty pessimistic at that time. And here we are 2 years later. I would have never thought it's gone so well as it has gone over the past 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. 100% agreed. Bill, your next prediction was multi-channel advertising strategies win in 2024.
I think this didn't happen. I mean, there's a AppLovin flash in the pan over the last month or two in D2C land. AppLovin is a mobile ads network that serves ads and games, which people got really psyched on, but it seems like the CPAs are going back up and it might have been a flash in the pan. I think Meta and Amazon remain king with a side of TikTok, but not yet, not in 2024.
Interesting. So when you say multi-channel advertising strategies win, what did you mean by that a little bit more? That's kind of a term people throw around a lot. So did you mean off outside of the big three or four?
Yeah, expected people to do more out of home. I expected people to do more like in-store retail trade marketing. I expected people to do more podcasts and radio, more TV. I do continue to hear about Remnant TV from some bigger brand friends, but I think the lion's share of everybody's budget is still the big classic channels.
Hey, Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Andy from HelloBatch.com, where they sell super high-end CBD products and partner with a local farm out of Wisconsin. Really great, fun, friendly guy. Was hanging out with him recently at an awesome event. And here's what Andy had to say about his experience with E-commerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
I think the coolest thing about ECF for me has been that the ways in which it's helpful has evolved. When I first joined, the most help and use I got was simply scrolling through the forums, reading about questions that I had that other people have already faced, and kind of just absorbing knowledge in the forum. As I've aged as a member, I'd say going to the events and building relationships with other community members in person has been the most valuable thing. I've actually ended up working with a few of them, and it's just such a great way to be like a filtering mechanism for awesome people to work with. For it to work in that way, you have to like go to these events, build the relationships, meet the people, but everyone is so great. I mean, it's just the best sense of camaraderie ever. And I can truly say that I think I've made some lifelong friends in ECF just being here a year and a half. So thank you, Andrew.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7- or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show.
My next prediction was someone's going to release in early phases an AI-driven marketing platform to handle content creation, testing, and repurposing that's actually good. You could actually use it to meaningfully streamline and automate your marketing. And I'm gonna give myself a big Fettel Zero goose egg on this one, unless you've heard of something, Bill, that I have not seen. AI has been interesting. A lot of early enthusiasm. And I still think, man, I'm using ChatGPT a dozen times a day. I mean, it has become my go-to for Google, you know, instead of Google to get questions. And even when it gives me terrible advice sometimes, like, I mean, it's gotten me stranded a few times we're on the road right now, like I mentioned at the top of the episode. And I've asked it some logistical questions and it gave me some terrible answers that caused, you know, multi-hour delays on our trip. Even with it giving me a huge slap across the face and leaving my family in the pouring rain for hours on end, I still go back to it over and over again because it's so useful despite the problems. Anyway, all that being said, so I think AI has a lot of great use cases right at the model level. But the second level applications for it have been a little disappointing, at least. And this one, I'm going to say, AI is not going to run our marketing in a meaningful way, at least didn't in 2024. Have you seen anything, any suites that have been impressive AI-driven for marketing?
I think you're, again, right, but I think you're early. I agree with what you said. I use the kind of the base LLM models quite a bit for spreadsheet manipulation. They're incredible for cleaning data and writing Python code to modify CSVs. I mean, wild. I have seen, you know, who is on the forefront of this, who does not expect this shout out, but Jacob Posell at Common Thread Collective. He is their their director of AI at CTC. I have seen, if you follow Jacob on X, DTC Jacob, he posts occasionally. They have some workflows going on at CTC to generate creative with AI, and it's pretty incredible. Spitting out 20 variations all at once, learning from existing creative that's working. They are pushing the envelope here. It's been pretty cool to watch.
Very cool. I'll have to follow. You said it was at DTC Jacob?
Yes. The guys at CTC, Taylor Holiday and co, are just brilliant dudes. I'm always so impressed with their thinking and they're ahead of the curve. But what Jacob's been doing is pretty neat. It's not there yet, like where typical brands can just go sign up for a SaaS tool and have this, but it's kind of proof of concept. Like, it is coming.
Bill, your next one was, I think you will see in e-commerce, a pretty stable M&A market. I think it'll be better in 2023, but I think you'll start to see more deals, but multiples will stay in kind of the same spot. So a little bit of a recovery in the M&A market, more volume, but multiples stay the same. Is that what you think you saw this last year?
I think that's exactly what we saw. I think I freaking nailed this one. Yeah, I mean, market was stable. More deals got done, absolutely. In the first half, I did not see a big multiple expansion. In the second half, and since the election, I have seen the animal spirits are back. Some huge deals have been announced in Q4 here, in the second half of Q4 already. And I know of a couple that are in process. The M&A market is back. I think 2025 is going to be a very good year for M&A.
Interesting. Did that happen pre-election, or do you think that's a result of getting someone who is, you know, seen to be more business friendly in the White House?
I mean, this is not a political statement, but I will just tell you factually, the next day, like the next morning, the M&A market exploded. I mean, my phone was ringing the next day after the election. It was crazy.
Interesting. Wow. Well, good call on that one. And the last one here, so we have time to make sure we can get through our 2025 predictions. My last prediction was, I think we're going to see the rise in 2024 or the re-rise of the personal brand. I'm going to give myself a pretty full-fledged point on this one. Both of us can go out strong on our last predictions. I think I see people talking about this a lot more, the importance of this. And my whole premise and thesis on it was, if you have AI, if you have fewer platforms, Amazon, Google, Meta, where they're just chokeholding advertising. One of your few competitive advantages that you can have is being someone people trust and follow, which is why celebrities inevitably go out and start throwing tequila line or something like that. And I just see it becoming more valuable in the world we're going into. And so, yeah, this is something I'm thinking more about. And I think it's, this is something that resonated with folks and got talked a lot about in 2024. So,
yeah, I mean, I think this will only continue, right? The counterpoint though is you can have a personal brand, but the algorithms still own your distribution, right? You know, you still might have to still pay to reach your followers, but like influencers now are just famous people from the 90s. Right. So like, yes, fame will continue to be very, very valuable. What I wonder though is, I gave you so much credit earlier in the pod, but like, I have to maybe play devil's advocate here on this one, which is that
Bill, you're going against our agreement here, man. You were supposed to just, you completely, you know, pump me up the whole time.
I'm supposed to gas you up the whole time.
Yes. What is this? What is this coming out of left field?
The challenge with this, right, is, yes, personal brands are more important than ever. However, it is harder than ever to break through with a personal brand because all of the algorithms are winner-take-all algorithms now, right? The big get bigger. Like, you've especially seen this on X, Twitter this year. It's harder and harder to pick up followers. Individual posts can go really viral, but it's so hard to build a following because all the feeds are algorithmic now. So you're only as good as your last post. And the bigger accounts are just more famous. So it's hard to build it's harder now to build a big account, right? You can have a viral moment, but it's very hard to build actual fame on the platforms now, harder than it was, I think.
Yes, I would say you're correct. And I'd agree with that. But I think that things are different things. It's more difficult to build a personal brand through certain platforms, but it doesn't necessarily make the importance of having a personal connection, a personal brand with people less important. It still can be it can still be increasingly important and more difficult to do. So, and I do think that you're going to see, like, it's funny you bring up Twitter. Now, I've been watching some people on Twitter, and I'm kind of a quasi-active person on there. I'm not wildly active, go through phases. Some of the times big brands will post stuff. And stuff that I think is good, and I'll look at the engagement metrics on it. Like, we're talking about people with hundreds of thousands of followers, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 followers. And they'll post something that's been live that I think is reasonably good. It's been live for a couple hours, 3 hours. And it gets, you know, like 20, 25, 30 likes, maybe 5 or 6 comments. I've been surprised at the lack of engagement on accounts where I would have thought they would have much more going on. I don't know if you're seeing that too, or maybe that just kind of ties in with what the trends
you're
talking about.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, just having a big account is not a guarantee of reach anymore. Like, individual posts are what go viral, and they don't get as much help from just having a big account. This started on the TikTok algorithm. This is sort of the thing that made TikTok huge, is that anybody could go viral at any time, and they weighted their algorithm much more towards the content than the account. And X has absolutely followed suit. It has the unfortunate effect of kind of like midwitifying everything, because like really deep niche content just doesn't get even enough reach to go to your own bubble that would really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really sad. And I hope, I would love to see, I don't know if it's through, it's a whole different discussion, breaking up Google, whether you do that or not, and kind of the new this year ahead, but it's not healthy. I hope so badly that in the next couple of years, we see something that is new that gives people a chance to kind of be able to get out and get some attention for great, interesting ideas without having to be played by the rules of these entrenched companies. Like, you always hear about people, Generation Z doesn't, or anyone who's really, younger than us, Bill, I'm 42, you're a couple of years behind, or, younger than me. But if you were, born anywhere more than 5 or 6 years younger than us, it was significantly harder to buy a house. I kind of think like, hey, I kind of got the last, chopper out of Saigon in terms of the affordability of things. And I kind of feel like that a little bit with people coming into online right now for trying to get attention, build e-commerce brands. Like, it's and everyone knows this, it's so much harder, but it's sad that there is not more opportunity for young brands to be able to organically kind of build a name for themselves. Not that they can't, but just how much harder it is. And I hope that changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's harder in different ways, right? It's easy to lament, oh, now you've got to play by the rules of these big platforms, and like, there's a few gatekeepers to fame and all this stuff. But like, welcome to the entire rest of human history. You know, they just had names, you know, like the Wall Street Journal or the ABC News or whatever, right? You know,
yeah.
There have always been gatekeepers to audiences, right? And, but except you and me, we are of the age, kind of, the, if you're 40 now, you kind of had the chance to live through like the last 20 years, what I will call the golden age of the internet, like the true mm-hmm. peer-to-peer age of the internet, where for a brief window of human history, you know, there really were no gatekeepers and you could connect with anyone and you could build incredible scale. I mean, the last 20 years of the internet were truly unique as in human history, as far as the connection and reach and lack of intermediaries. And I do think it's shifting back the other way, which I think that is what is sad.
Yeah. You stated that more eloquently than I did. And I agree with you completely. And I think that, I mean, you still have the ability to connect with people, but it is just so much harder and a slower pace. And, you know, you've got email, which is not completely independent, but much more so than, let's say, Google or Amazon. You've got podcasts, you have direct mail, you've got these ways to connect with people directly, but it just takes longer and it's more of a grind and it's more of a long-term play. And I think the other thing too is there haven't been any, the arbitrage opportunities. When we came online, everything was an arbitrage opportunity. It was just kind of, you know, there weren't any huge established players. And because we have so many gatekeepers and because there haven't been any major upstarts that have allowed people to come in and kind of, you know, arbitrage attention and get a little bit, not have to fight with everybody tooth and nail for followers and attention and market visibility. Even having a little bit of that now and then, I think is helpful for people climbing up. And we've just seen so little of it over the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's tough. The platforms have a lot of power. They do.
Well, Bill, next episode, we're going to be talking about predictions for 2025. A lot of my predictions were not even e-commerce focused as much, but more just macro focused. So are you more in the weeds in the e-commerce, or are you thinking more kind of macro, global, financial?
Well, this is e-com. So it's e-com fuel, right? So I do try to keep it e-com related for the most part. So maybe we'll have a very good mix.
Fantastic. All right. I might need to go back and sharpen my pencil here on the e-com side. Can't count on you for making you do all the hard work here. So, well, Bill, thank you so much for everyone listening. Thank you for listening. Hope you had a wonderful 2024. Really looking forward to, hopefully an equally wonderful 2025. So we will see you on the next episode.
That's going to do it for this week. A big thank you to OneClick Upsell, who offers incredible upsell software to get more from every single customer and increase your average order value on your site. To make more money from the customers you already have, check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And if you own a 7 or 8 figure store, you really should be a part of our private community and forums here at eCommerce Fuel, where you can connect with over 1,200 store owners just like you. We're so confident it'll be a game changer that we offer a 10x ROI guarantee. If you don't see 10x your membership value in the first year, we'll refund you 100% of your membership fees plus toss in an extra $1,000 for the hassle. So you can learn more and apply at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and look forward to seeing you again next Friday.